The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
President Trump is pulling the U.S. out of 66 international groups that he says, quote, no longer serve American interests, including a U.N. climate treaty. Right. It is. It has great significance, as you laid out, but also it's going to save us a lot of money. I just wonder if we should just pull out of the U.N. Yes. altogether. But we can have that discussion later.
A majority of European Union countries have approved the signing of a deal with the South American trading bloc, Mercosur. It'd be the EU's biggest free trade agreement to date. The pact with the four Mercosur founding members, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay, was supposed to have been signed in December. Italy originally blocked it, but has now thrown its weight behind the deal. The opposition from French and Polish farmers marching again today was not enough to sink the pact. Ireland, Hungary, and Austria were also against signing it. The signing ceremony is planned for January 17th in Paraguay.
The reason for doing this deal now is the European Union realizing they need to reach out to the rest of the world, with the U.S. being a very unstable and unreliable trading partner. And with the Trump tariffs, with the real uncertainty in the global order right now, it was time for European Union countries to get over some of their skepticism and look for ways to have a better environment for European consumers and exporters in the world economy.
This turmoil of that is changing the commercial ties all over the world was the big reason why this finally happened.
The agreement will see the EU team up with Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay and Uruguay to create one of the world's largest free trade zones. The deal will also see Europe and South America draw closer, just as US actions in Venezuela raise questions in the region on future alliances. And experts point to a broader trade trend.
There has been a notable shift among all US trading partners in thinking about where they can diversify their trade links, where they can deepen them.
Did US President Trump, did he play a role in bringing South America and Europe together?
He did.
So you're saying the European Union and the Mercosur countries, they've come together so that they can better defend themselves against the tariffs of Donald Trump?
Yes.
The United States is uniting the world against it. President Trump's tariffs, President Trump withdrawing from a lot of these international organizations, the world is in realignment. The European Union is filling the gap. The Holy Roman Empire is filling the gap. The United States is in this moment. There's this little resurgence happening. There are things that appear good, but you can feel it. You can feel the rest of the world is seething, like it describes there in Jeremiah. Europe is a seething pot. They're angry at the United States. You can see some temporary relief from what President Trump did in Venezuela. They're talking about doing that in Cuba, maybe Colombia and Mexico. They're talking about strikes in Iran. But the United States isn't rushing to fill that void, isn't rushing to fill that gap, and that can lead to even more instability, even more chaos. And then you see these countries, Russia, China, they're upset about what the United States did in Venezuela. That was an attack in many ways against U.S., Chinese, and Iranian defense systems more than an attack on Venezuela. They're being exposed. They're being filled with or getting more angry at the United States. You've got Europe, who Trump says is going to always be a close ally. They're like a seething pot, and they're working together with these South American nations, that Mercosur trade agreement that's going to be implemented or signed January 17th in just a few days. The world, again, is in realignment. Welcome back to The Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston, your host for today's show. If you have any feedback, you can send that to td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our Rumble channel and our YouTube channel as well. The YouTube channel is where we're exclusively posting The New Life and Teachings show. You can, of course, get that show at thetrumpet.com. You can go to the Watch tab and you can navigate down to the Life and Teachings program and watch all of those episodes. But you can also get them on our YouTube channel, the Trumpet Daily YouTube page. For the second half of today's show, we'll play a Key of David program, one of the programs that's gotten the most response, the most important book since the Bible. It's about Mystery of the Ages, of course. And so far, this show has aired twice on TV over the past couple of months, and it's pulled in over 6,000 requests for Mystery of the Ages. It's hard to believe, you know, there are still, obviously not every person in the United States has that book, but to think about that show being on these channels, and there are still people that tune in and stumble across that channel, or God draws their eyes to it and request a copy of Mystery of the Ages. We're the only church producing that, the only church that is or raised the ruins from Mr. Armstrong's death and what that church did following his death. I hope to get into this a little bit more, maybe just curating a couple segments over the next few days about January 16th and the importance of that day, why God draws attention to it. He wants us to remember the life of Herbert W. Armstrong. Mr. Fleury calls his life a highlight of human history. There's a Key of David program coming up soon that goes by that title. This is a significant event, what God did through that man, not just for the church, but for the entire world. You can request a copy of January 16, God's Miracle Day. It's an exciting little book. It's something that you should review heading up to this date, January 16. Why does God draw attention to this day? We had a spokesman's club last night, and one of the topics questions was about why this day is significant. You just point to verses and explain why that verse should draw our attention to January 16. Malachi 3 verse 1 talks about a messenger that prepares the way before Christ's return. Malachi 4 and verse 6, or 4 and verse 4 through 6, talks about an Elijah that comes before the day of the Lord. Matthew 17 verses 10 through 11, about an Elijah that restores all things, restores. Matthew 24, 14, the gospel message is preached as a witness. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 2 through 7. There's a falling away. There's a specific event. You know, all of these prophecies have dates associated with them. There's a restrainer that's taken out of the way, as it's described there in 2 Thessalonians 2. Daniel 8 and verse 14 talks about the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and how long is that going to be taken out of the way. And it's about this 1,150-day prophecy. And there are dates associated with that. And we have to look at January 16. And when you look at that, the fruits bear out that that is the date. James 5 and verse 17 talks about 3.5 years of spiritual drought. From what date to what date? Revelation 12 and verse 9 talks about Satan being cast down. These are specific events. And again, this booklet explains all of that, draws attention to these verses that point us back to the significance of this day. It's why we just commemorate this day. We look for events to happen, but just commemorating it and looking at what God has done the past 40 years here. January 16, 2026 will be 40 years since Mr. Armstrong's death. Mr. Fleury's drawn attention to that number. God emphasizes the number 40 throughout the Bible. Again, there's a time order. There are specific dates when these things occurred, and God draws our attention to those events. Christ told us to watch for certain events before his return. Christ prophesied. Christ was a prophet. False Christianity doesn't like to talk about that, doesn't like to look at the events that lead up to Christ's return. Oh, it's too scary. It's too depressing. That's not what we should be doing. One huge major event that I'll talk about, following Mr. Armstrong warned about it all through his 50-plus year ministry about the rise of the Holy Roman Empire, that seventh resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And then not long after his death in the year 1989, which we'll talk about that year in just a little bit, the Berlin Wall collapses. And we've seen the rise of Germany since that point, once they were unified. We had a few articles, just hit some of the highlights about the rise of the Alternative for Deutschland party in Germany. We have to watch the rise of the far right. And America, again, just is being duped into thinking, well, this is a great thing for Germany. And they don't realize that the AfD is not pro-America. Their stance fundamentally is anti-American, anti-USA. And the United States, again, just as Bible prophecy describes, is like this silly dove that just believes, well, these are our allies. They have our best interests at heart, too. Some of these articles talk about how there's this dramatic shift coming because in a lot of these opinion polls, the AfD is about to start winning elections in state governments within Germany, and that can cause a huge earthquake in German politics. This article from the Washington Post says, five German states will hold elections in 2026. In two eastern states, the AfD leads by wide margins in opinion polls. If it wins control of either state, German politics may never be the same. After Mr. Armstrong died, we saw that Holy Roman Empire surging after the fall of the Berlin Wall. We see and we know that this strong man's going to come in through flatteries. We don't know exactly how that's going to happen, but you can see maybe there's this really far right element, and that makes the moderates look a little more palatable. And they come. There's all these crises, there are all these problems, and Germany needs a strong leader to combat all of these things. And the United States, again, I didn't have time to play the clips, but they're right there alongside encouraging all of this. Yeah, Germany, you need to be stronger. You need to be able to handle some more of your own problems. These clips were about these U.S. bases that are within Germany, talking about the advanced technology in these bases that allow the American forces to be as ahead of the game as possible. We have nuclear missiles stored over there. All of these things, Bible prophecy describes, will factor into a massive betrayal, a double cross. This article at the Free Press, it's titled, Why 2026 Could Prove As Important As 1989. A really neat article. They go through some of the events in 1989. And then it's put that right alongside. You've got Mr. Armstrong's death in 1986. You've got 3.5 years later, you're in 1989, and Malachi's message being revealed. That 3.5 years, as described in James 5, ending, the ruins being raised. Again, all of this is described in our literature. But you've got also the Berlin Wall collapsing at that time. And this article points out how 1989 was a very pivotal year in realigning the world. And right now, President Trump wants that. He wants the Donroe Doctrine. The United States takes care of the Caribbean and South America. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. And Europe, you take care of the other side. And maybe Russia, China, you can have the Far East. You manage that. This article says, if its first days are anything to go by, 2026 may end up the most pivotal year in geopolitics since 1989, a hinge point that began in a moment of geopolitical calm but ended with the collapse of the Iron Curtain. That's an interesting decade politically as well. You had 8 years of Reagan and then 4 years of George H.W. Bush, 12 years of pretty strong Republican leadership. And then you look at, you know, how long has President Trump been around for? 2016, 2015, 11, 12 years on. Within a few years, the Soviet Union, this article, or these authors write the Free Press, within a few years, the Soviet Union had fallen. The European Union had been born, and an era of hyper-globalized trade took off on the wings of NAFTA and the WTO. This year could be equally pivotal, only this time with a vaster range of possible outcomes for world order. They write, the events of 1989 weren't inevitable, of course, any more than we can know now where the turmoil at the beginning of 2026 will take us. But this is shaping up to be a year of enormous consequence, and it is worth looking at some of its possible outcomes, not in a spirit of prophecy, but preparedness. It's interesting that they would put that in there. We do have a spirit of prophecy, and that the spirit of this world is prophesy not. Now, you wouldn't expect this secular source to get into the Bible, to get into prophecy, but God's church does. Mr. Armstrong did. Mr. Fleury has to. And that church that followed, or after Mr. Armstrong's death, they had a prophesy not approach, like it describes there in Amos 2. And that is the spirit of our age. They don't want to talk about Bible prophecy. And we have to have that as the backbone when we watch world events. I thought that tied in nicely to some of these quotes in Malachi's message, because in 1989, the Berlin Wall fell, and people looked to the Worldwide Church of God. They looked to Mr. Armstrong's organization and said, this is something you've been talking about. Germany reuniting, the Holy Roman Empire coming back together, and a secular radio station called the WCG and said, what comment do you have on this? This is incredible. This is a pivotal moment. And you know the story in Malachi, it's described in Malachi's message. They didn't have anything really to say. Well, they said it was premature to talk about this. In Malachi's message, Mr. Fleury writes, shallow prophetic understanding like this will cause the WCG leaders to think events are premature right up to the time they're in the tribulation experiencing them. The WCG's response to the newsman's request was not a watchman talking. Those church leaders didn't learn that approach from Mr. Armstrong. Can you even imagine Mr. Armstrong talking like that? Because Mr. Armstrong wasn't perfect in his prophetic understanding, just like Paul, these leaders go to an alarming extreme. As a result, they are not arousing people as the master is supposed to do. This is supposed to bring a response when you see these events happening, when you see all the turmoil in this world. Mr. Fleury says, I, like the news director, was disappointed. No, I was distressed by that response. There are so many more major prophecies being fulfilled now than in the 15 years prior to Mr. Armstrong's death, and the Worldwide Church of God is prophesying less and less. There are so many things happening right now. Looking at what President Trump is doing in South America, again, getting bad guys out of the way, getting the communists out of the way, but probably inviting in the Catholic Holy Roman Empire. Hey, we're allies. We're friends. We're fine with you handling these things. We're fine with Mercosur. We're fine with you working maybe in Venezuela or in Cuba. Back in 1989, there was Russia's withdrawal from Afghanistan. There's the Tiananmen Square massacre. Of course, the Berlin Wall falling, the United States getting involved in Panama. I think they helped depose a leader down there, not quite as dramatic as what they did to Maduro. I think that leader surrendered himself. And this article goes on to just state there were so many knock-on effects from what happened that year of 1989. Later in this article, why 2026 could prove as important as 1989, it says, this is the year America's unipolar moment was born. Bush invaded Panama to restore democracy. In January 1991, he led a multinational military campaign to expel Iraqi forces from Kuwait, demonstrating such overwhelming American military might that Beijing embraced a multi-decade strategy of cultivating close trade and technological ties with Washington. By the end of 1991, the Soviet Union had imploded. In 1993, the European Union was born. NAFTA and the WTO came into being in 94 and 95, respectively. And a new era of Pax Americana, free trade globalism, and U.S. hyperpower had arrived. The alarming thing about a lot of that, and we heard in a message recently about the Persian Gulf War, was that cleared the way for Iran to take over Iraq. Mr. Fleury was writing about that in 1993, and the rise of the King of the South. That's one of the dangers in President Trump saying, well, let's take out the Ayatollah. The King of the South is radical Islam, headed up by Iran. There are a lot of radical Islamists there. There are a lot of factions that could take over and be even more radical. But again, you see how desperate these powers are behaving. It's that seething pot mentality. They're getting more and more angry at the United States. As President Trump talks about peace, talks about stability, again, if the United States is going to go in there and control it and run it, maybe that can bring a degree of stability. But just taking out these leaders and not having a plan, not wanting the United States to exert itself beyond its hemisphere, that can lead to more chaos. This article says, what that unipolar moment, when that unipolar moment ended is a matter of considerable debate. They talk about maybe it was when Putin invaded Crimea in 2014, maybe it ended with the United States withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021. And then they go on to say 2026 might be just this pivotal year where everything changes. Look at what's happening in Iran. Those huge protests, possibly the Ayatollah being taken out. Look at what's happening in Venezuela and the Holy Roman Empire probably coming in there after President Trump cleared the way. There's a lot of drama in Taiwan. There's a lot of talk about the end of NATO. Shockingly enough, evolving or revolving around Greenland, of all places. This article from the Free Press says, well, it just talks about how the United States takes this hemispheric view. They want to create these blocks. It's the Don Rowe Doctrine. We'll take North and South America, Europe. You can take your slice. Russia and China can have their slice. But that's not going to lead to the stability that President Trump thinks that it will. It's fascinating watching how all of these prophecies are converging. The United States isn't mentioned in Daniel 11, verses 40 through 41. It talks about a king of the north coming against a king of the south, like a whirlwind, that king of the south pushing at the king of the north, getting back into South America and the developments that are happening over there. And that soundbite they mentioned that we played in the cold open, they mentioned how people really didn't pay much attention to this area because the United States had such a stronghold on it for so long. But now Cuba, now the Panama Canal, Venezuela, people are paying closer attention to these areas as the communist leaders are getting pushed out. These predominantly Catholic nations are going to realign with the Holy Roman Empire, with Europe. This clip is from a Key of David program back in January of 2015. It was about when President Obama tried to normalize relations with Cuba. And what's fascinating about this is Mr. Fleury warns is that that's a dangerous thing to get into because the Holy Roman Empire, and they have used that. That was the staging ground for control over the West. And Obama was welcoming that back in. The Pope was involved in as an intermediary in that deal. And what's fascinating about that is President Trump takes a different approach from Obama. You know, it's not the peace, let's settle our differences with the communists and just become friends with them. It's take them out. But then you see, again, the Holy Roman Empire can just come right back in there. So you get the same result from those two different approaches. This is, again, a clip from the Key of David from January of 2015, titled The Extreme Danger of the U.S.-Cuba Deal. This is clip 9.
And did you know in your Bible, it also prophesies that there's going to be a siege that is going to do just unimaginable damage to the house of Israel in the end time. And now our booklet on He Was Right explains that in great detail. And you need to understand that because that's another dimension to what could happen if our enemy or our lovers, let's say, get control of Cuba. It is our lovers that is going to do us damage, not Russia or China. And that is prophesied too. Notice what Friedman wrote, since the Louisiana Purchase, Cuba has been a potential threat to the United States when held by or aligned with a major European power. A major European power. Now, when Cuba was ruled by Spain. Cuba was played a central role in controlling all the wealth of Spain. And he concludes by saying, but moments pass, and no one can guarantee that it will not become important again. Therefore, the U.S. policy has been to insist on a regime change before releasing pressure. And, of course, now they've removed that pressure. And look out and see what is going to happen in Cuba.
It's amazing. Mr. Armstrong said the same thing. Russia is not going to... We're not going to get into a war with Russia. That's not World War III. The bigger enemy is the Holy Roman Empire, as Mr. Fleury says there. It's the people we think are our allies, our lovers, the ones that we exchange all of this technology with, that we trust to have control. That's who's going to do the damage, not Russia or China. And then Mr. Fleury talks about this siege in Ezekiel 5 and getting control of Cuba, Venezuela, the Panama Canal. This article in 1945 is titled, Is Cuba Next? Following the U.S. capture of Venezuelan President Maduro, analysts are questioning whether Cuba will be the next domino to fall. And Trump's got a lot of momentum right now. Might as well just keep taking out the dictators. It's really easy. It looks great. We'll invite in our Catholic allies to help out. This article says, since this is, I'll skip that one. Later on in this article, Cuba would pose even less military menace to U.S. intervention than Venezuela. Trump's fixation with domination of the Western Hemisphere, along with his focus on immigration and the drug trade, also serves to make Cuba a target. There is little doubt that Trump would consider Havana a premier trophy of foreign policy success, and it is of little surprise that Trump allies are already touting the potential end of the Havana regime. Bringing American capital and influence back to Havana, a U.S. goal since the Kennedy administration, would help cement Trump's legacy in his own mind. Again, it can appear like a good thing for a while, but what's the long-term goal here? Where is South America aligning? Go back and review that article from Mr. Fleury in 2015, the deadly, dangerous U.S.-Cuba deal. It gives a lot of the important prophetic significance of that, and you can apply it to these other nations in South America. These are strategically important areas to control. Cuba, the Panama Canal, even Greenland. And Trump draws attention to it. But again, how, look back at history, these are staging grounds. As Mr. Fleury points out, going back to Napoleon, that fifth head of the Holy Roman Empire. Mr. Fleury writes in that deadly, dangerous U.S.-Cuba deal, the Bible prophesies of a deadly economic siege that is going to strike America. You've got these trade deals that are being done to box out the United States. We don't want to be tethered to the United States. We don't like that the U.S. has as much power and influence as it does. It is one-third of the terrifying damage that will be suffered in the Great Tribulation. That siege is about somebody controlling trade routes, so it is not difficult to see how Cuba could play a strategic role in that. As we've mentioned on the show, there's this America being saved temporarily. There's this delay. There's American might, again, but just similar to what we did in Iraq, it's clearing the way for these other powers to get in. These powers that are hostile to the United States, even more hostile, the ones that we think are our allies. That article, they said, we're not going to do this in the spirit of prophecy, but the trumpet has to cry aloud. People have to see the big picture, have to see what God is working out here. And people, even as these crises mount, and 2026 is shaping up to be a big year, and we're just a couple weeks into it, earth-shaking developments. Even as these crises mount, people just want to hear smooth things. We need to want the truth. We need to turn to God. This Key of David program, the most important book since the Bible, again, this book was, they wanted to blot it out. They wanted to blot out the United States and Britain in prophecy. They blotted out all of Mr. Armstrong's work. The ruins had to be raised. Mystery of the Ages still gets a lot of attention. Like I mentioned, the requests for these programs are pretty high compared to the other shows. So I'll go ahead and play this Key of David program again. It's titled The Most Important Book Since the Bible. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
God revealed the answers to life's most important questions to Herbert W. Armstrong, one biblical doctrine at a time. Toward the end of his life, Mr. Armstrong wrote a summary of the Bible, a book he believed was the most important book since the Bible. 40 years after Mr. Armstrong finished writing Mystery of the Ages, understand how this book will make your Bible come alive. Next, on The Key of David.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Stephen Fleury. I'll be subbing in for my father on today's show. Next year will be the 100-year anniversary of Herbert W. Armstrong's conversion to the truth. It all started for him back in, of course, he died in 1986, but his spiritual journey began in the summer of 1926, a summer when he began to ask himself some probing questions. What am I here for? What is my purpose? Who am I? What is God's purpose and plan for humanity? He didn't have the answers to those questions. It was not long after he started to ask those serious questions that he was challenged on two subjects: the theory of evolution and the Sabbath observance, or whether it would be Saturday or Sunday. And so these two challenges, they prompted him to immerse himself into a six-month night and day study of God's Word, the Holy Bible. And of course, as he said later in life, the study of God's Word continued throughout his life. But those initial 6 months, I mean, that abruptly changed his thinking on every subject, every subject. And he started to find the answers to these most important questions. Over the course of his long and eventful life, as he continued in that study, Mr. Armstrong truly did develop a unique understanding of God's Word and so many subjects that have just perplexed mankind. And this book right here, Mystery of the Ages, this is a product of that understanding. This is his life's work, basically. He produced this in the last year of his life, back in 1985. He died in early 1986. And he handed it out to sophomores at Ambassador College, and it brought tears to his eyes. He said, "This is the most valuable gift that I could give to you." He wrote about it all through that year. He said it's, I think, the most important book that's been written since the Bible. That's a pretty big statement. That's how important this book is. He considered it the most important work of his 50-year ministry. And those of you that know anything about Herbert Armstrong know that he was a prolific writer and teacher. He gave hundreds and hundreds of messages on TV, sermons. He wrote what must have been, even into the thousands, of articles, letters, booklets, books. And this one here is the most important one of them all. He said, "I candidly feel it may be the most important book since the Bible." This year is the 40-year anniversary of Mystery of the Ages being available. Well, it was actually not available for a number of years, and maybe we'll have time for that on a different program. We had to fight 6 years in court just to be able to print this book and distribute it, because those that took over the reins of government in the Worldwide Church of God following his death in January of 1986, they started dismantling everything that he stood for, all that he taught, all the programs, and many of them very popular. He was listened to, he was watched by millions and millions of people. The circulation for his magazine, his flagship magazine, The Plain Truth, was up over 8 million per month. back in 1985 and 1986. But coming back to Mystery of the Ages, he handed it out after it was done being printed in the summer of 1985. And then on September 9th, 1985, just a little over 40 years ago, he gave it to the students at God's College, and it was to be used as a textbook for their learning so that they could understand the books of the Bible. Let's notice Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin our study of God's Word there. And as you turn there, please do get your Bible and read along with me. But as you turn there, I'll read to you what he wrote on September 12, 1985. This is Mr. Armstrong. He says, "It is my prayer that you will read Mystery of the Ages along with your Bible, that it will make your Bible come alive and understandable." He says, "I'm now in my 94th year, and I feel that this book is the most valuable gift I could possibly give to you. This book is a partial expression of my thanks and gratitude to you for being a co-laborer with me and with Jesus Christ." He said, "With all my heart, I do appreciate and thank God for your part with me in the wonderful work in these closing days." He got very emotional when he was handing this book out to those sophomores at AC. He's pretty emotional even in the writings all through that final year of his life as he talked about this labor of love. And he wanted to give it to the largest audience possible. This is Colossians 1 and verse 23. He says, Paul does, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Paul here is telling the brethren of God, now you've got to stay grounded on a sure foundation spiritually. You've got to stay grounded in the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Verse 25, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." That word dispensation, according to the dispensation, and you can look into the meaning there in the Greek, it means stewardship or administration. I mean, this was, God gave him, Paul, the mission to reach the largest audience possible in his day. And he gave that same charge to Mr. Armstrong. Notice verse 26. It says, "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages." I mean, here's where the title of this book comes from. Mystery of the Ages. It has been hidden. Paul said this to God's people. Most people are blind. You can read more about this in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. It talks about the God of this world in that passage. And it says the God of this world, who happens to be Satan the devil, he's blinded the minds of men. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, it says Jesus came to this earth as a light to this world, but men loved darkness. This brings us to what motivated Mr. Armstrong to write this book. It's right there in the opening chapters of the Bible, Genesis 2, Genesis 3. We'll come to that in just a second, but it says here, "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations and now is made manifest to his saints, to his little flock." That's how Jesus described the true church. To a minority of people, a handful of people. It's been made known, this mystery. Thayer's Lexicon says, "The mystery is a hidden or secret thing, not obvious to the understanding." When Mr. Armstrong handed this book out, he says, this is a book that it brings all the pieces of the puzzle together so that you can understand the Bible, which, as Isaiah the prophet said, is written here a little, there a little. You have to put the puzzle pieces together. And this book does that. And that's why Mr. Armstrong was excited about it, because it helps you understand the Bible. And the Bible is for our time today. It's for the last days, primarily. But why is there so much confusion and division about what it means to read the Bible, to study the Bible? You know, we're living at a time, by the way, where the Bible's popularity, it's rising here in the United States. The talk about religion, about Bible, there's a lot of that. And yet you look into the beliefs of denomination after denomination and you see a lot of differences. You see a lot of different interpretations. Why is that? Why should there be so much confusion when it comes to religion? Verse 27, talking about this mystery and making it known to the saints, verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, this is what a true Christian is. It's one submitted to this administration, this stewardship, the dispensation, submitted to God's government, God's family government, and then Christ can live in you. And if he's living in you, he's living the same way that he did in the first century. Christ in you, that's a great mystery to most in this world, and yet mystery of the ages, will open your mind to understand the truth about what God is working on this earth. What is his purpose? Who and what is God? That's the very first chapter of this book. I was telling my students recently that you have all these ambassadors for peace. I mean, they're traveling around the world trying to bring terrorist groups together with the Israelis or whatever it might be. And as I said to them, if only they could read just chapter 4 of Mystery of the Ages, the mystery of civilization, I mean, that alone is a mind-expanding vision. You can understand why this world is the way it is, why there's so much evil, so much darkness, so much violence and crime, so much sin. I mean, we're just saturated in sin. It's all around. It's everywhere. And that's because the God of this world has, as Mr. Armstrong explains in here, surcharged the air with his attitudes, his impulses, his influence. The prince of the power of the air. Read it in Ephesians 2, verse 2. It's right there. You can understand. It just takes some digging into the Word of God. And you have Mystery of the Ages here to guide you in your study. My father wrote this in the Colossians booklet. That's all the literature we offer, by the way, is without cost or obligation. We want to give it away freely, just as Mr. Armstrong did. It says here, the Feast of Ingathering, or Tabernacles, is about getting this message to the world, to gather in as many as we can. This is a festival that God's church observes every year, annually. It's called in the Bible the Feast of Ingathering. And you can see Jesus observing this festival in John 7, John 8, John 9, John 10. It's right there in the heart of the Gospel of John. It's a Feast of Ingathering, or Tabernacles, and it pictures the wonderful world tomorrow when God's government will replace the government of men all over the earth, all nations. Revelation 11 and verse 15. It says here, and that will continue into the world tomorrow, where a major textbook in all educational institutions will be Mystery of the Ages by Herbert Armstrong. It says, anytime this mystery was revealed in the past, God wanted his very elect to make it known to the Gentiles. That's why God reveals it. He doesn't reveal it so we can just sit there and look at it and or enjoy it for ourselves. It's for the world. And that's the mindset that Mr. Armstrong had. And those Laodicean ministers that took over after he died, they didn't have that same mindset. They didn't have that vision. It was just the opposite. They wanted to, well, one of them said he had a Christian duty to keep Mystery of the Ages out of print. That's right out of the mind of the devil, who loves blotting out the truth. Verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, living the same way Jesus did. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. Just follow me, Thomas. Just follow my steps. Follow my example. There was a lot of religious confusion in Christ's day as well. And he didn't show up and start shopping around for some denomination to join. He didn't show up and say, well, I think that the Pharisees here, they seem very religious. They might be onto something. No, he just came and he spoke the truth. He declared the Father. Jesus is true religion. Christians are followers of Christ. So if you're a Christian in name only and you're not really following his example, well, I'll just tell you, there's a lot of them in this world today. But you can come out of that confusion and learn the truth and understand the mysteries, all of these great mysteries of life. Who and what is God? What about angels and evil spirits? You're hearing more discussion about that today because we see so much division and strife and violence. We're seeing assassinations. Why is that happening? Who's behind it? Well, there's a chapter in here about Satan the devil and demon spirits and also the angels of God, the righteous angels. It'll open your mind to the truth. Mr. Armstrong, when he started distributing this, it only had a 32-month shelf life, but it went out to well over a million. This book, there was a hardcover version back in 1985, a softcover version. They ran it serially in the Plain Truth magazine. The first program, the tribute program they did 2 weeks after he died, The World Tomorrow, they advertised Mystery of the Ages and 107,000 people requested it. It was a runaway success, wildly popular, and yet the Laodicean government that took over for Mr. Armstrong despised it. They hated it. Today, I just want to encourage you, and I know many of you probably have your own copy already, but if you don't, I want to encourage you to call our operators and to request a free copy of this wonderful book for the 40-year anniversary of Mystery of the Ages. And it's more important today than it ever was, because we're drawing so near to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. You can look back on this history and see why that God was putting so much emphasis on it through Mr. Armstrong. All of that glowing praise. I mean, even the Laodicean ministers, the one in charge, he was heaping praise upon it a few months after Mr. Armstrong died, but that soon changed. He surrounded himself with all of these scholars, and they had contempt for God's truth. Mr. Armstrong didn't. He loved it, and he wanted to distribute it to the largest audience possible. Here he is on September 9th, 1985, presenting this book hot off the presses. He's presenting it to sophomores at Ambassador College.
The Bible is like a book that had been sort of cut up into about 2,000 or 3,000 pieces, and you have to get them all put together in the right order or you can't understand them. This book puts them together. And yet this book is only a synopsis. You could say it's the gist of the Bible. The synopsis, it doesn't cover all of it, but it covers the main thread of the Bible, so you can understand the Bible and understand the other details when you read them in the Bible. It'll open up the Bible so that you understand it. That's what it is for. Make the Bible plain and clear and understandable. And God is such a great God when you come to really know him and who and what he is and how real he is. And I want to say that you need to read every word and you need to go over it more than once. You aren't going to get the full meat of this book in one reading. This is a book that after you've read it, you can read it a second time and then later a third time. This book is not intended to take the place of the Bible. It's intended to make it so that you will understand the Bible. You must read the Bible with it. And this is to make the Bible clear and understanding to you as you read it and bring its meaning out as you never saw it before. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope you will enjoy it. It'll give you great happiness and enjoyment. I hope you'll enjoy reading it. And I hope more than any other book you've ever read, except the Bible. And perhaps, in a sense, this makes even the Bible more clear and plain, and you'll enjoy the Bible more from now on. Will you forgive me if I get a little bit of thrill that this was then done? This book is out now. Today's a pretty big day in my life, when I can hand the copies of this book out to each of you.
So that was in September of 1985, 40 years ago. 40 years ago. It was out of print by the middle of 1988. And it was out of print until we printed it in 1997. And then the Worldwide Church of God took us to court to try to stop us from distributing this. And that litigation went on for 6 years. It was a grueling struggle. You can read all about that in Raising the Ruins. And that too is made available for free. It's exciting history because we were fighting for the truth. Fighting for God's truth. I mentioned that passage in Genesis 2. Notice this. This is about the two trees. We need more of this in religion today, because this is how the world as we know it was established. This is the foundation of what Paul calls the present evil world. That's not my assessment. That's the Apostle Paul, Galatians 1:4. A lot of people don't believe it. But he calls this world evil. And so many people, even religious people, think that it's good. Verse 16 of Genesis 2, "And the eternal God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die." I mean, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's the way that seems right to a man, as Proverbs 14 says, but it ends in death, it ends in misery. We can't lead our lives based upon assumptions. We have to be, like Paul said in Colossians 1, grounded in the truth. That's the only sure foundation in this very unstable world that there is. Well, you know what happened here in Genesis 2 and on into Genesis 3. Eve, you can read it in Genesis 3, 6, she took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she thought, well, this is good. This is right. This is pleasant. This is tasty. And she was rebelling against her maker. And Adam came along and did the same thing. And notice the action that God took. A lot of people in the world of religion, they can't understand this. Why would God, if he's trying to desperately save everyone now, why would he take this kind of action? Read it for yourself. Genesis 3, verse 22. "And the eternal God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep or to preserve or to protect the way," it says, "of the tree of life." And so, as Herbert Armstrong explains in this book, it was at this moment that God closed off the tree of life, which symbolized the Holy Spirit of God, God's power, God's life, God's mind. Mankind was cut off from the Holy Spirit. and it was going to stay that way for 6,000 years. And here we are coming up to the very last days of that 6,000-year period. And you see a world just filled with chaos and confusion. You see religion, a Babylon of religious confusion, as Mr. Armstrong used to say. And of course, you see lots of crime and violence, just like there was on this earth in the days before the flood. That's described in Genesis 6. Luke 17 says that it's going to be just like it was before the flood in the last days, before the return of Jesus Christ. So this section of Scripture, what we just read, verses 22 to 24, this is a deeper understanding of this passage, is what motivated Mr. Armstrong to go to work on Mystery of the Ages in the last month of 1984 and then those first 5-6 months of 1985. He says in the author's statement of Mystery, "I had not fully and clearly realized the significance of the fact revealed in Genesis 3, 22 to 24, that in fact God had closed the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind in general until the removal of Satan at the second coming of Jesus Christ." This is a pivotal truth that even the traditional Christian religions do not understand. Mr. Armstrong says here he came to a deeper understanding of it. And that's why he set out on this journey to put together, under the inspiration of God himself, to put together this material in this book form, all the major questions, all the important questions in life answered for you in one textbook that explains so much about the present evil world and about the wonderful world tomorrow. I don't have time to read Colossians 4, but Paul had his struggle and his war to spread and distribute the mystery. Go and read those last few verses, or the first few verses in Colossians 4. But since we're out of time, we'll close off there, and I will just encourage you again to call our operators today and request Mystery of the Ages. We thank you for joining us on today's episode of The Key of David, and we'll see you next time.